And so today we're going to talk about, today's title is Set Your Mind for 2021. Set Your Mind for 2021. Now, I don't know what it is about turning 40 that makes you reevaluate your life. I will be 40 in about 4 months. And I don't know what it is about turning 40 that makes you sit down and think about your life and say, man, what have I done in the last 40 years, right? Now, that doesn't mean that other season and other points of life, you didn't think about that, but it's just something, I don't know, it's just something about that age that really makes you sit and think about, what have I done with my time that I've had that God has graced me with? And, you know, as I thought about, you know, leading up to turning 40, I said, has my mindset served me well these 40 years? And I'm going to go ahead and confess. God has allowed me to do many things, accomplish several things. I've, of course, graduated from high school. I went to the Army. I served my country for 8 years. I got several medals and accolades and awards while I was in the service. Got out of the military, joined the hospital system, was able to work my way up from a basic security officer to being the training coordinator and for that department, and then going on to work into HR and to reach another level of success in those areas, an executive level. I've written books. I've started ministries. I've started businesses, done all these things. And when you look at all of you, what you've accomplished, you know, you feel pretty good about yourself, right? But then there comes a moment that you have to be honest with yourself and said, but out of all those accomplishments, has my mindset truly taken me to the place where I could have been and to the things that I could have done? Am I at the place and have I accomplished and most importantly, have I become the person that I need to be at this age, at this time in my life? And I'm going to be totally transparent here and let you know that there have been seasons in my life, and I can confess right now, where my mindset has not served me well. It has not served me well. And mostly because I have not had a mature mindset. There was even some things that I tried to do, and there are some things that I tried to speak on. There's some things that I tried to, you know, be a consultant of. There's some things that I tried to be a coach and, you know, do all these things. And it was like God blocked it. He said, no, I'm not going to let you influence hundreds of people and thousands of people in a place that you have not even matured yet, mentally and emotionally matured yet. He said, you're going to have to come to a place of maturity before you can be an authority on it. Right? And so if I could give you a definition for maturity is this, and I want you to write it down, type it, however you want to do it. But maturity, and this is my definition of maturity. This is just in my time of praying, in my time of fasting, in my time of reading. This is what the Lord gave me for maturity. Maturity is mental, emotional, and behavioral consistency. Maturity is mental, emotional, and behavioral consistency. It is the type of mindset, emotion, and behavior that does not waver. The Bible says that a double-minded man is unstable in all his ways. If you think about a drunk man, somebody who's intoxicated, they're clearly unstable, right? Both in their speech, their speech might be slurred, their body might be leaning to the side, it's not upright, it's maybe sluggard, and even when they walk, they stumble. Why? Because they are intoxicated with something that has disrupted their mentality and their behavior. And so maturity is being sober in your emotions, in your mentality, and in your behavior. Think about it from that perspective. Now, the Bible says that those who serve in the fivefold ministry, apostles, pastors, teachers, evangelists, prophets, Their job in the body of Christ is to mature the saints. And so how do you mature saints, and how do you mature most of all yourself? By making sure that we are consistent in our mentality, the way we think, the way we feel, and the way we behave. Now, we're going to take a moment just to look through some scriptures, and I'm really just going to read scripture today. I'm not going to try to preach at you. I'm just going to read some scriptures that will help us have the right mindset in 2021. Because I believe that if you can set your mind in such a way to where you can become consistent in how you talk, how you walk, how you communicate with other people, I truly believe that there are things that have been held up in the spiritual realm that are going to flood you and that are going to be made available to you. Doors that are going to be open, doors that are going to be shut that need to be shut, right? I believe that there are things that are going to come into you at an accelerated rate that until you come to that place of maturity and consistency, it wouldn't have come before. Amen. Because here's the thing about it. God wants you to be successful. God wants you to be fruitful. Amen. But God also wants his name to be preserved. Right? He doesn't want to give you something you're not ready for. He doesn't want to give you something that you're going to mishandle because his name is attached to what he gives you. And so he wants to make sure that you're in a place to where you can speak good of his name and you can make a good reflection on his name. So let's look at Colossians 3 and 2. Colossians 3 and 2. And I'm going to read several versions. I think my favorite versions of the Bible are, of course, the King James. And then you have the Amplified. And probably one of my newest favorite is the Passion Translation and the New Living Translation. So I'm going to read several scriptures that have to do with the mindset, and we're just going to have a discussion about it. Is that okay? Amen. Colossians 3 and 2 says, set your affections on things above, not on things on the earth. Set your affections on things above, not on the things of the earth. King James Version. What are affections? Well, affections are defined as those things that you consistently think and desire, right? When you have affections for a loved one, when you have affections for your children, affections for your spouse, you're affectionate. That means that you're consistently thinking about them and you're desiring fellowship with them. So that is what it means to set your mind on something, to consistently think about it and to desire. But it warns us not to set our mind or to consistently think about or desire the things that are in the earth. Now, this is contrary to what the world tells us. The world tells us, you know, go get the house, go get the car, get, you know, desire all these things. But this scripture tells us don't consistently think about those. Don't let those things be in your mind all the time. And don't want those things all the time. Because why? Because they're temporal. The Amplified Version reads it this way. Set your mind and keep focused habitually on the things that are above, the heavenly things, not on the things that are on the earth, which have only temporal value. The Passion Translation Version reads it this way. Yes, feast on all the treasures of the heavenly realm and fill your thoughts with heavenly realities. I love this word. And not the distractions of the natural realm. I'm going to read that again because I think that's my favorite one of that version. Feast on all the treasures of the heavenly realm and fill your thoughts with heavenly realities. There's a scripture in the Bible that says the things that are in the spirit or the things that are in the natural are birthed out of the things in the spirit that are in the spirit. So everything that you see physically in front of you, it came out of the unseen. Right? Just like we talked about the light bulb, it was in the spirit first. It was in a place that was unseen first. And then once it was put in your heart, and then somebody started to strategize and think about how to bring that thing to pass. Yeah, I feel it. I think it would be a good idea in my heart. But how do I strategize and then actually make it a functional piece of equipment, and then I had to put my hands to work to actually build it. That is how things get from the spirit realm to the natural realm, right? But we know that those things that we see come out of the unseen realm first. But in this scripture, it says, fill your thoughts with heavenly realities. That means the spiritual realm is actually more real than the natural realm. We are just a reflection, right? We are just a reflection of what's in the spiritual realm. That's all we are. We are a reflection. Actually, all the things that were birthed in the earth, and I heard somebody teach on this yesterday, where even the tabernacle that Moses built, and you know, what were their names? Bezalel, Oholiab, all those who built these tabernacles, the Ark of the Covenant, all these things, those were shadows or types of the actual tabernacle in the Ark of the Covenant that's actually in heaven. So it was just a pattern. It was just a reflection of what was reality in heaven. So the Bible tells us as spiritual beings, place your thoughts on the heavenly realities. What is the real thing that's going on in heaven? What is the actual thing? Not what you see in the earth. What is really going on in the spirit realm? See, this is the mindset that we have to have in the earth in 2021. We can't look at what is happening in the earth and count it as reality. We have to look at what is in the spirit realm. You have to have eyes to see in the spirit realm in 2021 so that you will not get distracted in what's in the earth. This scripture actually says, and not with the distractions of the natural realm. The natural realm can be extremely distracting and will keep you from manifesting those heavenly realities, right? God will say that you are rich. And then the stock market will say it has crashed, right? CDC will say the COVID cases are rising and that by this time next month, this many cases and this many people will have contracted the virus and this many people will have died. We are, and it's almost like, and I tell my wife, she'll know that I say this all the time. I don't let the news prophesy to me. I do not let the news prophesy to me. Every time they get on there and they give these statistics out about what's going to happen, they say, well, by January, this is happening. And I even sit on my couch and say, I rebuke that. I say, not in this house. Because if you don't, you will take on what they're saying. And I actually heard Apostle Ron say this on the way down. Just because it's the facts does not mean it's true. Right? Just as because it's fact in the earth doesn't mean it's true in heaven. Right? We have to let heaven's truth override the earth's facts. That's what we have to do. Because what did we just say? We said that the spiritual realm is actually what's really going on. But many of us don't go to that place of the spirit to find out what's really going on. We hang out in the natural so much that we just accept the false reality of what's going on. But I believe in 2021, you're going to have to come to a place of spiritual maturity to where you spend more time in the reality of heaven than you do in the facts of the earth. That is where we have to be. And I'm telling you, and I'm excited about it because I'm excited to see what I'm going to see. In the heaven reality. I don't even know what I'm going to see in the heaven realities, but I'm ready to go there and find out. Right? Now let's look at Romans 8 and 5. And let me just stop right here and say this again. Listen, guys, do not let no longer, because we've all done it, do not get distracted in 2021. Do not get distracted in 2021. We spent so much time, and I'm guilty of it. We spent so much time being distracted by, let me see how to say this in a way that it doesn't get me in trouble. We spent so much time worrying about, yeah, thank you. Thank you for giving me permission. We spent so much time worrying about who was going to have some type of control for 4 years, when in reality, and in many cases, ignoring who holds time in our hand, in his hand, right? I'm not saying that you can't be concerned about politics. I'm not saying that you can't be concerned about what's going on in the world. We definitely need to be aware. We need to be informed. We need to know what's going on. We need to be able to be knowledgeable so that we can make the decisions that are right for us and our communities and our state and all these things. We need to be informed. We need to be heavily informed about what's going on. But don't be transformed or conformed, right? I'm going to say that again. I think that sounds pretty good. Be informed, but don't be conformed. The Bible tells us, do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. It's okay to be informed about things, but don't let your information be confirmation, right? Because you might get information that says, when this person gets elected, that's America's going to hell in a handbasket. Not for me. Maybe your America's going to hell in a handbasket, but not mine. Right? And so you've got to consistently be informed without being conformed. Right? But this goes back to a mindset. Romans 8:5, for they that are of the flesh do mind the things of the flesh. But they that are after the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. Amplified version reads it like this. For those who are living according to the flesh, set their minds on the things of the flesh, which gratify the body. But those who are living according to the Spirit, set their minds on the things of the Spirit, his will and his purpose. Now I'm going to say this. What was the last thing you set? I want to get some feedback. What was the last thing you set or was set for you? Time changed. I'm going to give you a hint. The time changed, fall back, spring forward. You set your clocks. Now, when you set your clocks, why did you set your clocks? Because your clock was going to dictate what you're doing with your time, right? When you set your clock, you're setting it to tell you what time it is, to tell you how much time you have in the day or in the week or the month or whatever. Just like you set your clock, even if it's you set your watch to wake you up in the morning, you know how we set our alarm clock to wake us up in the morning? We set that alarm so that we do not bypass the time that we need to wake up so that we're not late. The Bible tells us to set our mind like you set your clock. You set your clock so that you won't be late to work. You set your clock so that you know you need to wake up on time. You set your watch or you set your clock so that you can stay what? Consistent with time. We synchronize our watches so that they can all be consistent with time. So like a clock, like a watch, you need to set your mind so that it will be consistent with the word of God. So that you don't miss or bypass or sleep beyond the time or sleep beyond what God is doing. This is good. I don't know about y'all, but I feel good about that. If we could just set our minds like we set our clocks, we will wake up to the Spirit and receive things that we need to receive on time. If we would only take our mind as serious as we take our watch. If we would only take our mind as serious as we take our clocks and our watches, I believe we could actually receive some greater things. Those who are motivated by the flesh only pursue what benefits themselves. But those who live by the impulses of the Holy Spirit are motivated to pursue spiritual realities. We're going back to that spiritual, those spiritual realities, the things that are actually real, even though we can't see them. It says, those who are motivated by the flesh only pursue those things. But those who live by the impulses of the Holy Spirit are motivated to pursue spiritual realities. So this goes back to what I preached last week. You cannot ignore the Holy Spirit and expect to experience spiritual realities. I say it like this all the time. You can't be holy without the Holy Spirit, and you definitely can't go into the spiritual realm without the Holy Spirit. So in this year, you're going to have a closer walk, a closer talk, a closer conversation, a closer relationship with the Holy Spirit, because he's going to bring you into spiritual realities. There's some things that maybe been hidden from you that you couldn't see, that you couldn't recognize, you couldn't discern. But as you build and grow a closer relationship with the Holy Spirit, your eyes are going to begin to be open to spiritual realities, the things that are really going on. Like, you know, we've been in 2020, and it's been a very confusing year, right? But the closer you get to having that relationship with the Holy Spirit, he's going to say, I'm going to really show you what's really going on. I'm going to unveil and uncover some things. The world sees this, but as you get closer to me, you're going to see these things. You remember the story? I think it was Elisha, who was in the king's bedchamber or something like that. And his servant, you know, their enemies were coming to fight against him. And it says that they looked out the window, and his servant, you know, saw all these, their enemies. And the prophet says, God opens his eyes so that he will really see what's really going on. And it says when his eyes were open, it said that he saw the heavenly hosts and the armies of God surrounding their enemies. Your confidence changes when you see what's really going on. Y'all didn't respond the way you should have. Your confidence changes when you can really see what's really going on. I'm asking you, do you really see what's going on? Do you really see what's going on? Those who are dominated by the sinful nature think about sinful things, but those who are controlled by the Holy Spirit think about things that please the Spirit. Now, when we think about, because this scripture actually says those who are dominated by the sinful nature, they think about sinful things. Now, I want to be clear right here in the scripture. When it says sinful things, we typically think about sinful things as being those things like murder and, you know, stealing and you know, lying and cheating and all those things. Sin is disobedience to God. Let's just paint a broad picture and say that sin is disobedience or disagreement with God. That's really what sin is. So when we look at the scripture, I don't want you to think about all those sinners out there in the world that ain't met Jesus. I want you to think about your current situation. I want you to think about yourself and your mindset, which you've allowed yourself to think throughout this year. Me at the same time, I'm being guilty of it. I'm asking myself, how have I unintentionally sinned before God by not agreeing with him, by not seeing what he sees, by not talking like he talks, by not declaring what he declares? What have I taken on? What false realities have I spoken that are in disagreement with God? What have I allowed myself to think, feel, and act that was contrary to what God wanted me to think, feel, and act? Ephesians 4 and 23. And be renewed in the spirit of your mind. Did you know that your spirit has a mind? Has a means to think? King James Version. Let's look at the New Living Translation. It says, instead, let the spirit renew your thoughts and attitudes. You know, when I was actually studying this lesson, and I saw where it says, let the Spirit renew your thoughts and attitudes. I said, well, what is attitudes? You know, what is an attitude? I know what it is with kids, you know, with my kids, you know. But what is it just in humanity in general? Because it says thoughts and attitude. Your attitudes are the fruit of your thoughts. Your attitudes are the fruit of your thoughts. So think of it like this. What you continuously and habitually think on will produce an attitude, which is a consistent way of thinking and behaving. So Ephesians 4 and 23 says, let the Spirit of God, let the Holy Spirit renew or make new, start all over again, how you think and how you let what you think dictate how you act. So it's basically just saying start all over. And every year we make these New Year's resolutions. You know, these, I'm going to lose 20 pounds in 2021. Or 21 pounds in 2021, however you want to say it, right? But in order to lose 21 pounds in 2021, you've got to think differently than how you thought in 2020. Not only that, not only do you have to think differently, but you also have to let how you think change the way you act and the choices you make in 2021. You have to have a different attitude about eating healthy. Attitude. So, yeah, thank you, Lord. So it not only goes about how you think and how you act, but how you feel. Attitude has a lot to do with how you feel. So when you are setting goals for 2021 and say, I believe God is saying this and doing this, he said, well, you know you're going to have to change the way you think about, you know, think and feel about those things that you beforehand thought bad about. I just got done reading a book and going through a course called Influencer. And it's basically the science behind how people think and how it causes them to act and why people can't change habits and behaviors. And one of the things it said was this. It said that good behaviors feel bad and bad behaviors feel good. Good behaviors feel bad, but bad behaviors feel good. It does not feel good to do sit-ups. It does not feel good to run. Well, unless you start doing it and get consistent with it, then you'll learn that it's something to love. But when you begin to do it, you hate it. It don't feel good. Right? But sitting on the couch eating Oreo cookies feel real good. But that doesn't mean it's the best behavior. Right? I mean, it feel real good. And so what it said in this book, it said that bad behaviors oftentimes feel good. And the good behaviors oftentimes feel bad in the beginning. And so what we've got to do is we got to change our mindset about those things that are good but feel bad. Even when they feel bad, we've got to tell ourselves this is a good thing. We've got to change our attitude about those things that feel bad, but we know that are good. We also have to change our mindset about those things that feel good and we know that are bad. We can say, oh, man, this feels good. Everything that feels good ain't good. Right? It don't even have to be evil. It doesn't even have to be an evil thing plotted by the enemy and your enemies and your haters. Like, it don't even have to be that. It can be just simply something that feels good, but it's just not right and good for you. Right? There are things that are good for other people that are just not good for me. There are things, I tell you, when you learn this secret about mindset and how you see the world and how you see yourself and how you see your own purpose and your destiny and looking at your own purpose, when you get concrete on really just accepting yourself, how God made you, and not comparing yourself to other people, not trying to do what other people do, you'll be surprised how good you feel. But what we will do is we will look at the world. We'll look at the cares of the world, the pride of life, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, the pride of life. We'll look at all those things. And we will go and try to pursue something, even though it's killing us on the inside, even though we hate it on the inside. I'll give you a prime example. And this by no means is trying to paint a bad picture about opportunities. But I remember when me and my wife were transitioning from our former church to where, you know, just kind of the place where we are in now with our school of ministry, I remember where we felt the call to kind of step out on faith, start our own school of ministry, and go down that path because we kind of, that's the fruit that we bore. That's kind of like the thing that we did. But then there were several, I'm not going to call it names, but there were just people that tried to prophesy pastoralship over us in a specific church, a couple churches. And I used to always wonder, how do you get prophesied to pastor 6 churches, right? But anyway, we kept trying to get pushed into that zone. And so we said, well, maybe that's what God is saying. So many people are saying it, and so many people are trying to prophesy on. Maybe that's where the place we need to go now. So for about a year and a half, we went down this path of becoming pastors at this place. That's all I'm going to say. When I tell you we both looked at each other one night, and she said it more than I did, she said, I feel like I'm dying on the inside. Now, pastoring is a great thing, right? That's nothing to shun against, right? But in this particular place that we were in, right, this particular setting that we were in, and in this time of life, this season of life, it was killing us to go down this path. I mean, we were just dreaded. Like, it was just something on the inside said, this ain't for you. And so although it was a noble cause, although it was a good thing in the sight of man, it was killing us on the inside. Because we are mobile people. We like to move. We like to see different faces sometimes, right? We operate better when we're on the move. We produce greater fruit when we're on the move, right? And so we had to, in a sense, but the thing about it was we knew that what we wanted to do and what we wanted to produce, we knew that it was going to be hard. We knew it was going to be challenging. We knew it was going to be hard. And we knew that there would be people that didn't understand. We knew that there were people to be looking at us like we was crazy. We knew that there would be, we just knew that it would be challenging. But the moment we stepped out on the challenge, it was like a peace that passes all understanding that came over us. And the reason I say that and I share that story is because, again, everything that is noble and that looks good and feels good is not always the best thing for you. So you've got to really come to a place of mental, emotional, and spiritual maturity to know and to go back to those spiritual realities. Because we went to God, I was like, God, are we doing the right thing? Is this your reality for our life? He made it plain that, no, I want you to go this way. And when we made that decision, and I'll go back and I'll say this too. When we made that decision, you've got to be willing to go through the hurt that comes with it. Because there's some hurt too that goes with it, that came with it. But you've got to be willing to go with that hurt when you know it's God. But that's a whole nother story. And be continually renewed in the spirit of your mind, having a fresh, untarnished mental and spiritual attitude. And I love that word, untarnished mental and spiritual attitude. You can't let everything come into your mind. You can't read all kind of books. You got to be very selective of the books that you read and the spiritual attitude that you have. So it says, be continually renewed, change the way you think, in the spirit of your mind, having a fresh, untarnished mentality. The books you read should tell you, or the books you read should match where you're going. The books you read should match where you're going and what you're called to do. Your library most of the time will tell you what you're called to do if you're getting the right books. The Voice translation says, take a fresh breath and let God renew your attitude and spirit. I love that. Take a fresh breath and let God renew your attitude and spirit. And the Passion Translation reads it this way. Now it's time to be made new by every revelation that's been given to you. That's the same scripture that says, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind. The Passion Translation. Now it's time. It's 2021. Now is the time to be made new by every revelation that's been given to you. Here's the thing. Revelation can only go, can be given to you when you go into the spiritual place where spiritual realities are. So if you never go to the spiritual place, if you're always in the natural and your mindset is always on earth and you're always being affected by what's going on in the earth and you never take the time to go into the spirit realm to find out what those spiritual realities are, you can't get revelation. You won't be able to get revelation. And you won't be able to act on that revelation. But when you receive that revelation, there's two things that will happen. You will become what you need to become, and you will begin to do what you need to do. I'm going to say that again. When you get the revelation that God wants to give to you, then you will become what you need to become, and you will do what you need to do. Let's go back to Paul, who said, I was not disobedient to the heavenly vision, which is the revelation or the spiritual reality. He said, I wasn't disobedient to it. Before that, he was a persecutor of the church. He was a murderer, right? But when he got a revelation of who he was supposed to be and what he was supposed to do, he became an apostle of the church and probably the most eloquent writer of the New Testament, right? And so you have to get a revelation this year on who God has called you to be and what he's called you to do. You can't go based off of what you feel this year. And I'm just going to be honest. Don't be dictated by what you feel this year. You need to get a revelation on what God is saying and what he's showing you. Romans 12:2. We're almost done. And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Amplified version, and do not be conformed to this world any longer with its superficial values and customs, but be transformed and progressively changed as you mature spiritually by the renewing of your mind, focusing on godly values and ethical attitudes. Going back to that attitude, you got to have a different attitude in 2021. So that you may prove, and I love this, the Amplified version says, prove for yourself. You ain't trying to prove this to nobody. The revelation that you're going to get in 2021 is not to try to prove nothing to nobody on social media. It's not to prove anybody anything to your family that didn't support you when you wrote your book. It didn't buy any of your books. It didn't do this. Didn't buy any of your content. Listen, it's not to prove anything to your family. It's not to prove anything to anybody on social media. It's not to prove anything to anybody on your job. It says renew your mind. Get the right mindset. Receive the revelation so that you can prove to yourself who you are and what you're supposed to do. Because the person that needs most convincing is you. Most of the time, who and what God has called us to do, the person that needs the most convincing is most of the time is us. It's most of the time us. There are people that might believe it more than you do about you. But we constantly come up against our own self by doubting who God said we could be and what he said we could do. So that you may prove for yourself what the will of God is. But think about it. He said, change your mind, renew your mind, change your attitude, basically change the way you're thinking and the way you're behaving so that you can prove for yourself what you're supposed to be doing. I I think I put this out yesterday on social media. I said that 2021, your mindset will either serve you into a success or sabotage it. Going back to when I said when I was reevaluating my life, turning 40, I realized, I look back over my life, and I realized that I have, in so many ways, so many times, sabotaged my own success by the way I was thinking. And it didn't mean I didn't have moments of inspiration. Moments of inspiration are great, but moments of inspiration coupled with consistent thinking is what really produces great success. Moments of inspiration come and go. But if you don't couple those moments of inspiration with consistent thinking and consistent emotions, then you will fluctuate back and forth. And you always have to be inspired. You always have to be motivated. You always need to go to some motivational event. You always have to listen to some motivational. You know, there was a season in my life I need to be motivated all the time. I'd go to YouTube and get that motivation. I'd look up, you know, what's his name? The preacher, the hip-hop preacher. Oh, I forgot his name. Say again. Say. Eric Thomas. Eric Thomas. I used to listen to Eric Thomas all the time. Oh, because I just needed the motivation. I was like, well, if I can just get that daily, you know, Eric Thomas, that, you know, if I can get that daily motivation, you have to come to a place where you don't need that anymore. Because your mindset and your actions are so consistent, you no longer need motivation. Because why? Because you got inspiration. Motivation means I need to have a reason to get up and do what I need to do. So I'm going to give myself a reason by listening to this motivational speaking. Inspiration says it's in my spirit, so I don't need the motivation. It's in my spirit. It's part of me. The Passion Translation, stop imitating the ideas and opinions of the culture around you. Stop imitating the ideals and opinions of the culture around you. Culture is huge. It's been huge this year. And I'm in no way painting a bad picture about any culture, the black community, or anything like that. But 2020 was a challenging year for the African American community, for the black culture, because of all the recent events with George Floyd, Breonna Taylor, all those who were in those situations where it really spoke to our culture, it really spoke to us as a people. And we had several moments where, you know, we really had to stand up for our community and our culture. And that's noble. There's nothing wrong with that. That it needed to be done. But I will tell you this, that you can get so deeply embedded in your culture that you miss the opportunities around the world. And what I mean by that is that you can let your culture overtake you so much that you forget that you have a kingdom culture, right? We have a kingdom culture that should supersede any culture that we are tied to. So although you fight for those rights and fight for those things that need to be fought for, you don't do it at the cost of the culture, the kingdom culture that you have loyalty towards. I'm going to say that again. Although there are things in your humanity, in your earthly culture, that need to be fought for, don't fight for it at the expense of the kingdom culture that needs to be established. We have one loyalty, and that is to the kingdom of God. All these other cultures and things we support when we need to, but our loyalty is to the kingdom of God. That is your culture. It says that now that you are in the kingdom of God, there's therefore now no Greek, no Jew, no male, no female, no bond, no free, right? And so your culture, you're one race. 1 Peter 2:9, for you are a royal priesthood, a peculiar people, a chosen generation, right? You're a new race. I think one translation says you're a new race of people. So now you have to let that culture dominate any other culture and speak on your behalf. And lastly, I'm not sure what translation this says, but the same one, Romans 12 and 2, says, don't copy the behavior and customs of this world, but let God transform you into a new person by changing the way you think. Then you will learn to know God's will for you, which is good and pleasing and perfect. Don't copy the behavior and customs of this world. Alpheus knows this. We've been talking about some things and doing some things, and I'll tell you this. This year, for some reason, I've really chosen to deviate away from what everybody else is doing. So I'm going to create something new. I want to create something different, a different look, a different feel about the work that God has put in my hands to produce, right? We get advice from experts all the time, but I believe, just like those inventors, I believe you can get fresh revelation. I believe you can get new ideas that's never been thought of before. I believe you can produce new things, new fresh anointing, right? New revelation. God has not run out of ideas. So I believe this year, and I'm going to declare this for Judah. Judah, I believe that you can do something this year that no church has ever done before. I'm glad that you're agreeing with that, right? I believe that Judah can do something that no church has ever done before. All we need to do is go into the spiritual room and find out what that witty invention, that idea is. Because that's where it is. It's not in the natural. You're not going to discover it in the natural. You got to go into the spirit room. Right? And the Bible says that we have the mind of Christ. Those of us who have accepted Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior and have confessed our sins, you know, and repented of our sins, we have the mind of Christ. When the Holy Spirit came upon us, the Bible says the Holy Spirit is the Spirit of Christ. So when we took on the Holy Spirit, when the Holy Spirit came and lived inside of us, we received the mind of Christ. That means the potential to think on things that Jesus would think on. Right? Notice I said potential, because the Bible also says there's a war that's going on in my mind. The spirit against the flesh that's constantly warring against each other, and that the flesh will never submit to the things of God. And then Paul says, oh, wretched man I am, who will deliver me from this body of death? He said, thanks be to God, Jesus got this thing straightened out. I can have the mind of Christ. But you can only have the mind of Christ if you have Christ. And this is where salvation comes in. You will never be able to get yourself right. You would never be able to think yourself right. You never be able to act yourself right into righteousness. You have to have a relationship with Jesus Christ. And if you're watching by social media and maybe you have not made this decision to make Jesus Christ your Lord and Savior, the Bible says that we are all born in sin and shaped in iniquity. We were all born in sin, shaped in iniquity. We've all done things wrong. And that the wages of sin is death. And that simply means separation from God. But the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever would believe in him would not perish but have everlasting life. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but through him the world might be saved. And today, if you're whether you're in the building or if you're watching by social media, the Bible says if you would only confess with your mouth and believe in your heart, confess with your mouth Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead, then you shall be saved. And when you become saved, there's therefore now no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. You have become a new spiritual being. You are born again by the Spirit, and you are being, your soul is being saved by the renewing of your mind. Amen. And so if you have accepted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior today, you are on the path of developing a new mindset, a new way of thinking, a new way of feeling, a new way of choosing, a new way of behaving. And I truly believe that your 2021 is going to be greater than your 2020. Amen.